So let's get started. So now we really start Basavachalov. Simon Tzadiyal, this is where the action really begins. But don't worry, it starts off kind of easy, because the first three Se'ifim, which we're going to do today, Be'ez Hashem and Simon Tzadiyal, are about two things that touch each other without any heat and without any real moisture, just dry touching between basar and chalav, or between treif and kosher, and what to do with it. So obviously the first three Se'ifim is clearly talking about things that are only midrabanan, because, you know, from basar and chalav perspective, because any basar and chalav that's not cooked together is obviously not an issue d'oraisa. So everything we're doing in the first three Se'ifim is obviously going to be only on a d'rabanan level. So the background to this, to these first three Se'ifim, are really psukim in Parshas Matos. The Torah tells us in Parshas Matos, in Bavidbar, Parak Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Chav Gimel, about Hechsher Kelim, and the Torah says, Kol Davar Asher Yavo Be'esh, Taviru Be'esh, right? That anything that you use with fire, the way to kasher it is by putting it through fire, that's Libun, V'teher, Ach B'menida Yizchatav, V'kol Asher Lo Yavo Be'esh, Taviru B'mayim. And whatever is not put through fire, whatever is not used with fire, is taviru b'mayim. Then you're supposed to put it through water. So whatever comes into contact with fire needs to be kashered with fire. And we call it shaloyam beish taviru b'mayim. What in the world does that mean? If it's not used with fire, so taviru b'mayim. So what exactly does that mean? So there are three shitas. The Ramban quotes a Sifri that, well, what is another form of kashering that does not involve direct fire? Hagala. So it must be that somehow hagala, that something comes into contact with heat from a kli rishon, but not direct fire, like boiling water or something like that. So then the way to kasher is with boiling water. If it's not yavo be'esh, it's not cooked on a barbecue, so then the way to kasher, a fork or a spoon, is by doing hagala. So that makes a lot of sense. That's what I'm bound in the name of the Sifri. Rashi on the pasuk on Chumash writes matbilan v'dayo. Matbilan v'dayo, meaning the reference is not to kasher and kelim at all. The reference is to tevilas kelim. That in mid pasuk it shifts from hechsher kelim to tevilas kelim. If either of those interpretations are correct, then it's got nothing to do with our sugya, right? Because we're not talking about kasher and kelim. We're not talking about tevilas kelim. That's going to be much later in the year. That's not our topic right now. The Ramban, however, disagrees with both of these interpretations, and he says, "Ein loshon ta'aviru tevila." Loshon ta'aviru does not imply tevila. Ki ayomer taviu b'mayim. It would have said taviu b'mayim shu loshon tevila k'mo b'mayim yuvav itamei adar b'tayer. That's what the Torah usually uses when it describes something going into the mikvah. It wouldn't say ta'aviru. Furthermore, says the Ramban, Av hakelim shetashmishan b'tzonein shrichen hechsher min isur shebehen milvada tevila hazav. He says it can't be that all you need to do is tevila. If you had kelim that were used with cold tray, it needs some sort of kashering process. How could it be that the Torah omits the kashering process of something that was used with cold? It only talks about the kashering process of something that was used with hot. It can't be that the Torah would omit an entire method of kashering. Also says the Ramban, Kishalamdu chachamim tevila zu lo hiskiru b'hamikra hazeh. When the chachamim discussed tevilas kelim, they don't even quote this pasuk. Eladarshu ach b'meinida yischata mayim shanida tovelas fam. They have a different pasuk. Ach b'meinida yischata, that it's mayim shanida tovelas fam. That's the same mayim that you need to do to tovel kelim. So it can't be about tevilas kelim either. Also, it's not so pasha that tevilas kelim is d'orais in the first place. So if you're going to interpret this pasuk like Rashi, that it's about Tevilas Kelim, so then you're taking a very strong stand that there's an extra phrase in the Torah to teach me Tevilas Kelim, which obviously would assume that Tevilas Kelim is Daraisa, and that's not so pashut at all. So instead, the Ramban says, Avol pirish ta'avir b'mayim, l'chabsam, u'l'shavshif osam b'mayim yafe, ad shetasur chuldo shenitbuka b'hem min ha'isra shenishvamish b'hem, shezeu echsherin min ha'isra. To clean and rub and scrub the kelim that were used for cold treif, that is the way to be machshir kelim that were used with cold treif. Yomar HaKasuv, Dover shetashmisho be'esh, taviyu be'esh, kedarek shayetashmish, bo be'isurim. that the general rule with Hechsher Kelim is Kibbalot Kafolto. So something that was Balea with the medium of fire, so it's Balea with the medium of fire. Im Tashmisho Ba'or Mamish, Kigona Barzel Vanachoshes Vigama Kesev Azov, Melavna Ba'or, if it was used with direct fire, direct fire. Vima Yide Chavin, if it was used with hot water, Kigon Habdil Ba'oferes, Magil Bechavin, then you do Agala Bechavin. V'davar shalom shtamshu bo be'esh elo b'tzonein tadichos b'mayim etchismarik v'yitar. So it's talking about rinsing a kli that was used with cold, because obviously they would rinse off any non-kosher grease anyway. So the pasuk has to be teaching about a stronger, more intense kind of rinsing that constitutes a hechsher kelim, something that was used with cold. Meaning, I don't need the Torah to tell me that if a plate was used with cold chazer and there's chazer grease all over the plate, then you got to wipe off the chazer grease, right? That's obvious that you're not allowed to eat non-kosher stuff, and involved in this kli, it's going to become bottle. You're not allowed to do that, right? That's obvious. So if the Torah is introducing something to me, it's telling me that even after I've wiped off the chazer grease, I need to do some sort of kashering. So what is that kashering? That kashering, says the Ramban, is a very thorough rinsing and scrubbing and cleaning of that kli. That's how the Ramban understands the pasuk. Now the Mishnah in Chulin Kuf Zayin Beis, Mishnah tells us, I'm not sure how to picture this metzias exactly, but the Mishnah says you could take meat and cheese, put them in mitpachas achas, in one bag, let's say, and that's fine, as long as they're not nogin zebazeh. How are they in one bag and not nogin zebazeh? I don't know. Is that, are they each one individually wrapped also?
You have two things, you have something in between the two.
Ah, something else in between them. That's a davar mafsik beinem. But I think we're going to see that the in the Shulchan Aruch, even if it's not without a davar mafsik.
I was thinking about like wrapping it like this, kind of. Not like they're not touching each other. There are two different sides of the towel.
Right, yeah. Right. Okay, maybe. Or maybe it just means in the same drawer in the refrigerator. Meaning, right. Hesitancy, it means that you're slipping around a bag that's a soft bag. Maybe it's in a box that are right next to each other. That yeah.
These smaller pieces, not a whole block of cheese or a whole meat, but it's like a half of a brisket and like more space in the bag.
So it depends how big the bag is, how big the bag is. Right. Okay. Anyway, so that's what the Mishnah says. And as long as they don't touch each other, it's fine. But the Chiddush is not that if they don't touch each other, it's fine. The Chiddush is that if they do touch each other, it's a problem, right? Meaning, so the Gemara says, wait a second, touching? Where do we ever have a problem of touching meat to dairy? Right? If it touches each other, well, what difference does it make? It's tzonin to tzonin. It shouldn't really matter. It's a raya that the Gemara was written by men, because a woman would say, what are you kidding me? If a meat touches dairy, you burn the whole house down. You know what I mean? You don't allow meat and dairy to touch each other. But the Gemara says, what's a big deal? So a little meat touches a little cheese. Who cares about that? It's tzonin to tzonin. It shouldn't make a difference anyway. So Amar Abaye, nihid the klipa lo bayi hadach, nihid lo bayi. You may not need to do a klipa. We'll get into in Sifdal when you do need to do klipa. The klipa means to peel off a layer, but hadacha, you at least need to do a hadacha, some sort of thorough rinsing of it. So clearly the Mishnah, in addition to teaching that there's a din hadacha, also teaches us to avoid situations where it's going to be required, because there's a concern that you're not going to wash it, right? That's what the Torah quotes from the Baal Yitr also, that whatever you're not supposed to, whatever is a situation is going to cause a hadacha, a need for hadacha, you shouldn't put yourself in that situation in the first place. Even though there's a way out, you can just do hadacha, but I'm nervous that you might not do hadacha, that you might put the two items in contact with each other, then you'll forget to do hadacha, so that you're not allowed to do either. So the Torah quotes the Baal Yitr, right, the Torah quotes about the Iter, that we see from here that you're not allowed to put them in this position where they touch each other, because you might come to eat them without hadacha. So the Taz is bothered how the Bali Iter can use the term shmamina. We see from the Mishnah that you should avoid putting things. Shmamina implies that it's an implication of the Mishnah, not explicit in the Mishnah, as if like there's multiple ways of interpretation, and if you really think about it, you'll derive from the Mishnah that you're not allowed to have them touch each other. It's not a derivation of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says Ublvad shelo nagu zebazet, that they're not allowed to touch each other. Right? So the Mishnah is explicit that they can't touch each other. So what's a shmamina? Oh, shmamina, don't have them touch each other because you might forget to do the hadavah. It's not a shmamina. That's exactly what the Mishnah is telling you, is that they're not allowed to touch each other. So that's why the Taz and Sivkatan Aleph over here tries to work on this. And he says, V'yishlomar, tahava amina, davka basru gvina atzman. I might have thought that the Mishnah is only talking about where you have basar and you have gvina, but not when you have a fleishig plate and gvina, or a milchik plate and basar. Anything that requires adacha, even if one of the items that's coming in contact with the other is a kli. So from the fact that we make it tali and adach, we see that all of the everything that requires adach is the same. So therefore, that's the shmamina of the Bala Yitr, that the Bala Yitr is telling you that, of course, the Mishnah is telling you directly that you're not allowed to touch meat and cheese to each other, lest you forget to do adach. Bala Yitr says, shmamina, you can't put cheese on a fleshical plate or meat on a milchical plate, because you might forget to do adach in that case as well. The problem with that answer is that the Torah really should have said that the Bala Yitr is teaching the Kalmidi Dibai Adacha Afilu Kli Aser. Right? That's what he should have said. He should have emphasized Afilu Kli, if that's really the whole Chiddush over here, is that it's Afilu Kli. So in the bottom of the Torah, in the Agos and the Aros printed on the bottom of the Torah, they suggest a little different, what the Chiddush of the Bala Yitr is. And they suggest, Vev Shalomar the Chiddush Bala Yitr Hu Afilu Bishari Surin. Now one might have distinguished between basar v'chalav and shari sun. Basar v'chalav, there's a concern I may forget to do the adach because I'm dealing with all kosher ingredients. And when I'm in my kosher kitchen and only kosher food is in this kitchen, so I may forget to do a hadacha. But if I know that I'm using treif utensils, or I know that I touched something treif, of course I'm going to do a hadacha. I'm a religious person. I'm going to be very careful to do the hadacha. So maybe there should be counterintuitively or ironically, it should be less of a concern of touching treif to something kosher, because I could be more confident that I'll remember to do the hadacha. So that's the chiddush, that don't be so confident that you shouldn't touch treif to something kosher. And bottom line is, and this is one, maybe the way we should have done this is, let's start with a shayla, and let's see how we work toward answering that shayla. Very, very common shayla. You rent an Airbnb, or you go to a hotel, and there's a continental breakfast. And you want to have, if you go to a hotel, free continental breakfast, so, if you're Jewish, you got to go, right? I mean, it's free, right? So you got to make sure you take full advantage of the continental. Most of the stuff is kosher, right? You go, and if you're really, depending how assertive you are, you go into the kitchen in the back, I see where the pastries come from, and, like they have an OU on the box, and, most of the stuff is usually kosher. So you want to take some cantaloupe, and, you're not going to take the bacon strips, but you'll take, because that's probably not kosher, but you'll take the cantaloupe, or you'll take cereal in a bowl, raisin bran or Cheerios or whatever, it's a recognizable cereal, you know that it's a kosher cereal. Milk is always kosher, as long as you're not makvid v'chol of Yisrael, so you have the, and you want to put it in a bowl and eat it with a spoon that they have. And it's not always paper bowls, they very often have actual klecheres, actual bowls, or so are you allowed to do that, knowing that yesterday someone might have put a bacon strip in that very same bowl. Lest you ask, who puts bacon strips in bowls? I would imagine they would put that in a plate or something. They'll put it anywhere. In a hotel, anything goes. People do all sorts of creative things when they're traveling. I was once at a hotel and I was thinking about the shayla of using the waffle maker, because the waffle mix is also kosher. If you go, you on the waffle mix. So I thought maybe we could use the waffle maker. I was thinking it's a bishlakum shayla, because previously people used the waffle maker to cook waffles. And if and there's 2 days in Rishonim where the Bishlakim trafes up the Kalim. So I was thinking, if there's Makom to be Makel on the Bishlakim Shaila, then I noticed the sign next to the waffle maker, please don't put bacon strips in the waffle maker. Now, you do not put up a sign like that unless it's proven to be a problem, right? Unless people have been doing that. So then you realize, ooh, probably cannot use this waffle maker. People do whatever they do. So, okay, you have your bowl. You want to have cereal and milk in the bowl. Are you allowed to do that? Are you allowed to do that? So, trefa bowl, are you allowed to do that? So far, what we've learned is that you're not allowed to create a situation that will require hadacha, lest you not do hadacha. Which would mean that if you put cereal in a trefa bowl, the cereal would need hadacha. So you're not going to do hadacha. Meaning over here, it's not even lest you're not going to do hadacha. You're not going to do hadacha. You're just going to eat the cereal. So it would seem to be a problem over here, right? That you're using a trefa bowl. It applies even to kalim, not just to foods. So it seems to be a problem. So we're going to have to, you know, see how this shaila progresses as we go through the sugya. I mean, sometimes it's just helpful to have like an actual practical case in mind as you're going through the sugya, so that it's not, you know, just floating in the air or something that's distant to you, right? This is something that happens all the time. So those are two possibilities what the chiddush of the Baal Ha'Ikar is. So again, possibility number one, the Taz says, is that it applies to kalim and not just to the foods themselves touching each other. And possibility number two is that it applies to shari surim and not just to basar b'chalav. First possibility is suggested by the Taz, and the second one by the Gos and the Aros on the bottom of the tour. The Pashtus, however, is that the whole chiddush of the Baal Ha'Ikar is not really that part of the statement at all. The Baal Ha'Ikar then goes on to say, and that this gezeira to avoid sonin b'tzonin ba'adacha is only if it's something that you're anyway not going to rinse. But if it's something that's typically rinsed, that before anybody uses it, they always rinse these things, then you don't have any chashash that maybe you're going to forget and you're not going to rinse it. That's the chiddush of the Baal Ha'Ikar, right? The chiddush of the Baal Ha'Ikar is not that you're not supposed to have meat touch cheese because you may forget to do adacha. That's beferish in the Mishnah. It's the second half of what the Baal Ha'Ikar says. But if it's a type of meat where everybody rinses that meat before they eat it, so then you don't have to worry that you're not going to forget that you're not going to rinse it. Of course you're going to rinse it. The Ra'ah disagrees, and he says, no, the Gezerah applies to everything, it's a low plug. Meaning the Ra'ah must have been assuming that you need a much stronger kind of rinsing, and therefore you can't just rely on the fact that you generally rinse meat. Because rinsing must mean something very, you know, shitshuv, some type of scrubbing that's more than what we typically do. Whereas the Baal Ha'Ikar seems to assume, whatever you rinse is probably a good enough rinse to qualify as hadacha. Now, just give me a moment. If you look in Shulchan Aruch and Siv Beis, Shulchan Aruch writes, Kol midi kvay hadacha, kagon laniach basar het ritzonein, b'ka'ara shel is ritzonein, asu l'chachila dima achu b'lo hadacha, v'davka mvushul delav urche b'hadacha. Avol midi d'urche b'hadacha, kagon basar chay, uche yotzi bo shari l'chachila. Everyone rinses raw meat, Shulchan Aruch says, like the Baal Ha'Ikar, and therefore you're allowed to touch raw meat to cheese because you're gonna rinse the raw meat or to a milchik plate because you're gonna rinse the raw meat anyway. So Rabbi Kiveger, on the spot though, even though Shulchan Aruch is very clear, like the Baal Ha'Ikar, Rabbi Kiveger quotes the Ra'ah, right? If I recall, is Rabbi Kiveger? Here it is. Avomidi du Urche says Rabbi Kiveger, Das Hara'ah bebedek abayis, Davka lahaniach iser bekli heter mutter, Hechi de darka ladiach hakli. Avom b'shnei mine olchlin shenogu zemzel, Asur b'chalinim. He says, even if I'm going to, the Ra'ah says, even if you're going to rely in general on the Svar of the Baal Ha'Ikar, that's only when it comes to kalim, when you typically wash kalim. But on food, I'm not going to rely on the fact that you typically would do hadacha on the food itself. And then he quotes a Rashbu's Matir B'chalini. Rashbu's Shor Zabai is Kasav Degam Zem Mutir. Right, that the Rashbu's Matir regardless. He thinks that's mutter as well. So again, Shulchan Aruch Paschal is like a Baal Ha'Ikar. Something you're going to rinse anyway doesn't have an issue of putting in a cold tray plate. Rav Kiveger quotes a Ra'ah that dafka by a kli heter, that you have such a heter. But when it's items of food, we're not going to rely on hadacha. But then Rav Kiveger says the Rashbu's Matir b'chal inyan. And in Pesachei Tshuva, Sif Katan Gimel, he quotes a machlokas about about this. Right, Dorche Vadachai in Prima Vadim, Shosov, Kanaf, the Master Dacha, the Nech, the Cleus from Kanafas, who the Motor Morche Vadacha, Alagavi Yisra Be'en, Afilu Eno Shamin, Asin, Sar, Shifshuf Gadol, that a natural item of food requires a big Shifshuf, Alachi Aviatu, the Rebali Iter, a Kli. And that's why, that's Kufu, what the Shulchan Aruch is telling you, that the Shulchan Aruch is Dafka mentioning the Bali Iter, Benogea to the Kli. But the Shach, Sivkat Ndalev, and Simon Kofay, Sivkat Nei, says, Ein lechalik b'zeh, afil agabi iser be'en shari yimur chay ba'adach, adolo tzor k'shiv shuv. That we shouldn't be mechalik, even if it's foods, they don't require shiv shuv. So that's how you have this machlokas that's quoted in the Pischa Tshuva. So is there any raya? So the Rashba brings a raya from a pasuk. Pasuk in Parshas Tzav says, as a chelav al achaz yevienu, as a chaz lahanif also tenufal lefnei Hashem, and the Torah says, v'ikter akoyin as a chelav amizbecha, v'yachaz la arun ulavana. What are we doing? We're taking chelav and the chaza, and we're touching them to each other, and yet the chaza is going to be given to Aaron ubanav to eat. So they took the chalavim of the animals, it's treif, the chelav of the animals treif. They touched it on the meat of the korban. Right, they attach it to the meat of the korban. It's going to need hatacha if you do something like that. It's two items of food touching each other. It's not even a kli. Two items of food touching each other, and the halacha is two cold items of food touch each other require hatacha. But I thought the Bali Iter said, and the Mishnah actually said that you're not allowed to do things lechachila that are going to require hatacha. Ah, elamai, it must be that the Bali Iter is correct. Right? Why is this mutter? Because you're going to wash the meat anyway. So if you're going to wash the meat anyway, so then you're allowed to touch two items of food that are going to require a dacha. Because the plan is to wash the meat anyway. So that's the raya that that the Rashba quotes, that the Bali Iter must be correct. If you look in the Bir Agra, in Sivkat and Beis, he quotes this raya, and he doesn't like it at all. The Eino Raya. I mean, Torah Vaday the Mutter. Vod Kalim's reasoning. He says, what kind of Raya is this? Midal Reis, I know it's Mutter. Right? Meaning, the whole thing is, don't touch the two cold items to each other. That's why we started this whole thing by saying, everything we're going to be learning, the first three Seifim, is Drabanan. Right? Nothing's cooked together over here. Everything we're learning is Drabanan. Now, the truth is, by Malchalos Asuros, when you're dealing with Chela, which is Malchalos Asuros, that's natural Dal Reisa. But even so, a concern that I shouldn't touch them because I might forget to do hadacha, that's obviously drabana. That's obviously drabana. Meaning, to tell me that I need hadacha when chelev touches kosher food in a chinami, that might be daraisa, that I need hadacha. Okay, there's room to argue that that's daraisa. But to tell me that I'm not allowed to touch them in the first place, lest I forget to do a hadacha, whenever you use the word lest, it means you're learning, because you never use that in normal conversation. But it also means that you're dealing with a drabanan, right? That's always a drabanan. So, because I might forget to do a hadach, of course it's a drabanan. So you can bring me a raya that the Torah allows it. Of course the Torah allows it. The whole thing's only a drabanan. So the Gras says, what kind of raya? Then the Gras says, it's also not a good raya, because you can't bring a raya from what they did in the Beis HaMikdash, especially when the whole issue was about a concern of Hisrashlus and Atzlus and Shikha and whatever. People are going to forget and be lazy and this and that. Kohanim's reasoning. Kohanim are not lazy and forgetful or whatever. Kohanim are on top of things in the Beis HaMikdash. So that's not a raya, b'chlal. One second. You want to say why it is a raya?
I'm just wondering if the first time I thought it's first of the ra'ot, if the ra'ot clearly subscribes to a case where that person does remember to do hadacha, so the myself, mashna kalim from Bosar. If the ra'ot says that
hold on to that for a second. Let me just finish this thought with the machlokas. It's a good point to come back to. But the Gra says the Rashba's right. It's a ridiculous right. It's a bigger right from Pasuk in the Torah. Pasuk in the Torah is not dealing with Dinim Derabanan. The Dinim Derabanan came afterwards. So what's the Teretz? The Rashba do want to learn also, right? Rav Tversky always likes to say that the Chiddush of Reb Chaim in learning was that the Ravid also knew how to learn. Right? That was the Chiddush. Meaning up until then, whenever you had a machlokes up until Reb Chaim, if you had a machlokes Reb Shonim, what Achron would work on is who's right. And one of them is right, one of them is wrong. Reb Chaim's Chiddush is that they're both right. They have a different way of looking at things. Right? So the Chiddush of Reb Chaim, learning that the Rebbe knew how to learn. Right? So the Rashba knows how to learn also. Right? So what's the what's the Rashba thinking? It's possible in the Torah. So what does that have to do with the Din Drabanan? So it could be that the Rashba's Raya is based on the Taz HaYadua. What's the Taz HaYadua? It was a famous Taz. It's Yadua. It should be Yadua to everybody here. It was a famous Taz that the Rabbanan are allowed to make Dinim Drabanan, but not indiscriminately. There are certain limitations on Dinim Drabanan. For example, that they're not gozer gezeira legezeira, except for when they are, right? Meaning that there's some limitation on that. And one of the limitations the Taz writes is that they're not allowed to make a gezeira legezeira that goes against the Beferish Apostle in the Torah. They're not allowed to say you're not allowed to do something when it's a Beferish Apostle in the Torah that we do and that you're allowed to do. So the Mashal, that's why the Taz is in a number of different places in Shulchan Aruch, where the Taz says this Yisod. It's applied by other people in a lot of other places. But the Taz writes that why is it that they weren't gozer, that you shouldn't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah? Zer Hashem Yisak and Klishir. Because the Torah says you got to blow shofar. So to say that one year I'm not going to blow when it's Chalan Shabbos or whatever, so I'm not totally being oker a pasuk in the Torah. But to completely be oker a pasuk in the Torah and say that pasuk in the Torah can't be. The Rabban can't do that. The Rabban can completely take away a puzzle. They could say, one year it doesn't apply. And we don't take lulav. L'kach l'lucham yom rishon won't happen in Tavshin Pei Dalet. But they can't say, they can't just make it a puzzle in the Torah that it will go away. So that's why that's a limitation of the Rabban. So if the Torah is described, Rav David Cohn from Brooklyn, was a big Talmud Chacham, he's a big posek. So he's written, I don't know, 3-4 dozen Sfarim, he just keeps trying. So how does he write his Sfarim? So his son told me, his son is a big fan of Rosh Hashanah, so he comes to Yeshiva once in a while, Avi Cohen. You just find him roaming around the hallway, looking for Rosh Hashanah. So he told me, once I saw him in the hallway, taking a picture of the picture of Rosh Hashanah on the wall. the real deal is in the basement. But he told me that what his father does, he typically comes up with a thing to think about, and as he's learning, he just writes down examples that come up in the course of his learning. And then when his list of examples get big enough, he puts out a sefer. So he has a sefer called Tatazi Yadua. Because he came up with enough examples in all of his learning of the applications of this famous Taz that he put a whole sefer out called Tataz Yadua. So he has a whole sefer of the examples of Tataz Yadua. So I wonder if this one's in the sefer. But maybe that's the teretz for the Rashba, that the Rashba was saying that in Chinamis didn't Rabban, but the Rabban wouldn't have the authority to make such a din if it was against the pasuk. If it was against the pasuk in the Torah, it doesn't answer the Gra's other taina that Kvanim's reasoning. Okay, but that's not as strong a taina as the first taina. So okay. So now let's get right back to questions. Shmuel, you wanted to say what? Going back on, remind me where you. Oh, why would there be a chilik? Why would? Why would we, the Rebbe Kiva Eger quotes a Rashba that's mechalik between kalim versus things that versus items of food that touch each other, right? We said that when it comes to kalim that touch each other, so then you can rely on the fact that you'll do a hadacha. When it comes to food that touches each other, so you're not going to rely on the fact that you'll do a hadacha. Why would we be mechalik? So what were you thinking? Some of you had an answer.
Could you be that the magic of Allah, they're more kosher for initial pasuk of challah. If you have mamish, two things touch each other, meat and milk, and then you don't actually do a mashim, just putting it on a plate.
Okay, shashi might come to bishul if you mess up. Okay, possibility. I was thinking a little different, but the way you wash dishes and the way you wash food is typically different. I was just thinking that you're more likely to scrub dishes more thoroughly than you are to scrub food. And therefore, the dish probably was cleaner to begin with because you probably washed it better to begin with. And anything you do afterwards is going to, anything you do on the dish afterwards, you're going to clean it better. Maybe that's a difference. Yeah.
The answer himself. It's very difficult the way that there's all sorts of machlokes about what's going on. It seems like I don't know, did the Achronim not have access to this source of the Iter itself? Did it just come from the Torah? Because the Iter is very explicit in what the problem is. It's very clear that it's about remnants of stuff on the Ka'ara. He says the meat has to be clean. Like if you put basar chai on a kara that's a sursonen,
right?
It would be a problem. Like it wouldn't be a problem because you rinse it. And if it were a problem, then how are we matir going to come into our bars and drink our wine? That the wine that's in there would become usur. But we rinse our cup, so it's not a problem. Meaning the whole problem that he's talking about is remnants of yayin staying in the cup. It's not a problem because we rinse it. It would be the same thing for the meat. The problem is there would be treif on our meat. No, why we rinse it? So it's mutter. But to put it on a totally clean plate, the Iter makes no such mention. Why? What's balayat?
No, but it's the same chashash that the plate's not totally clean.
If the chashash is that the plate's not totally clean, and therefore you have to clean meat. Right?
That's what I'm saying. Maybe that's why you could be mechalik between the plates and the meat, is because maybe the plates are clean. Right? But I think that's what the understanding is, that the plates might not be totally clean, and therefore you're gonna have to
rinse. Either that the plates aren't clean, and therefore you have to clean the meat, or it's that the meat is trait, or it's, like, if it's a basar mechalik issue, that you have to clean your plates. Right?
Both items that touch each other, you need hadacha.
But either way, for anything that's normally clean,
right, and then you can be makel on the thing that you would normally clean.
It would be mutter like that.
That's the answer. Yeah.
And if you have a clean, dairy plate and you put a piece of meat on it, it'll be mutter without a duck also, because there's nothing on it.
That's what they're arguing. I mean, that's what they title within the answer. Meaning, yeah.
Kula.
The answer is definitely a kula, right? Meaning, it's telling you not to worry about it if it's something that you normally rinse. Now, yeah. The Gemara, let's backtrack a little bit. So the Gemara said that when the Mishnah says that you can't put two different, that you're allowed to put meat and milk in the same bag as long as they don't touch each other, so it implies that if they do touch each other, it's a problem. Then the Gemara said, yeah, it's a problem because you're going to need hadacha. So Shulchan Aruch Sif Aleph Pasuk Gevina Shenadu Zabzem Mutarim Elish Etzarich Ladiyak Makom Nigiyasan Mutar Latzarasam Bidmet Bakas Achas. I mean, that the limitation, you're not allowed to touch them to each other, but you don't have to be afraid that Shema Yiguzevazet, that they might come to touch each other. In Badei Shulchan of Yosef Katan Dalit, he writes, V'yesha Kasvu, Sha'adachi hi below Shif Shuf Biyadot, El Sagi B'shtifas Mayim B'makum Anagia La'avir Mashinid Bak Me'echal Al Chaveiro. He quotes from the Yad Yehuda that it's not enough to rinse the meat and or the cheese. You also need to scrub it. Rinsing it with water is not good enough. You also need to scrub it. And he thinks we should be machmir like the Yad Yehuda. In Pesachei Tshuva and Sifkat Aleph, he talks about this, and he quotes Prima Gadim, V'hai hadacha, hainu, hadacha bi'alma, below shivshu. It just means rinsing, nothing more than that. Pesachei Tshuva goes on to say that when there is duchka de sakina and dabra shamein, like using the same knife to cut both meat and cheese, then you actually need shivshuf. Now, why do you need more shivshuf when you're dealing with knives? Because the Gemara Chulin says that a shochet needs a separate knife for the fat than he does for the meat, because that would seem to pose a problem for the Baal Yitzhu, who said that there's no concern of forgetting adacha on raw meat. Why would you need a separate knife for the fat than you do for the meat? Even if you use the fatty knife and you cut the meat with it, you get raw meat, you always do adacha on raw meat, according to the Baal Yitzhu. So what's the Baal Yitzhu going to do with that Gemara? Right? Again, the Gemara says that the shochet can't use the same knife he uses for the forbidden fats on the raw meat, when he's butchering the meat. But according to the Baal Yitzhu, that any time you're dealing with raw meat, we rely on the fact that you'll do hadacha, because everybody does hadacha. So then what's the problem? What's the Gemara talking about? So that's why the Rashi explains that when there's duchat, the sakina must be more chum. So when it comes to a knife, it's more chum. So hadacha is not going to be enough. You're going to need a shifshuf also when it comes to duchat, the sakina. So that's what the Shach and Sifkat Aleph says. So there are three madrigals, right? The Shach says that the whole thing of the Shulchan Aruch is only if either the cheese or the meat is moist. If they're both dry, you don't even need to rinse them. So if you have a piece of milchik cake that's made with some sort of milchik, cake mix, and a dry piece of meat and a beef jerky that touch each other for a second, you don't have to rinse them. You just see there are no crumbs in the beef jerky. It's fine. And they're both dry and they're both totally fine. They're both going to be mutter. If you have on the other extreme, you have a duchka to sakina, so then you need a hadacha plus a shifshuf. You need a hadacha plus a shifshuf. But if you have just without a duchka to sakina, just two, a milk and a fleshy finger touch each other, so then badi ashulchan quotes a machlokas. But the Pischichuk, the Prima Gadim, he's Meikil. That you only need a regular Hadacha. You don't need a Shifshuf also. You just need a regular Hadacha. So you have three Madrigas, where you need Hadacha plus Shifshuf, where you need just a Hadacha and not a Shifshuf, even though the Adyut is Machmir, and where you don't even need Hadacha. Okay, so that's how it plays out in terms of what's required. With the Dukha and the Sakina. Yeah, that's something exact, which fits the chaylev. Meaning the chaylev, that's the case in the Gemara, is the chaylev with the knife. So it's a shamnunis, and it's a duchat tzakina. Good. Now, what if you didn't do hadach? You forgot, right? Meaning we were so concerned you might forget. What if you actually forgot? It happened and you didn't do hadach. So Badei HaShulchan and the Biurim says that he collects three shittos in poskim. Whether it's asur b'diavad if you didn't do hadacha. What do you mean? Just do hadacha. Kind of shaylas. So the only hechitimtza is you forgot to do hadacha and then you cooked it, right? So now it's too late, right? I mean, obviously, if you didn't do hadacha and you haven't done anything with it yet, so do hadacha now. There's no like time limit on the hadacha. You can just do hadacha now. So it must be that you already cooked it. So the three mahalchim. Taz and Sivkat and Aleph sounds like Lekuli Alma, it's not Asur B'diavad, based on the Machlokas and Sivdalit about Klipa being Asur B'diavad. Meaning in cases where you need to take off a G'day Klipa, says Machlokas and Sivdalit, if you didn't take off a G'day Klipa, is it Asur B'diavad or not? So the fact that there's even a Deya that it's not Asur B'diavad when you forgot to take off a G'day Klipa, Hadach is even less than Klipa, so it must be that everyone agrees that if you didn't do Hadach, that it's going to be Mutter. Prima Gadim in Siv Seidas and Siv Katan Yud says, no, that's a terrible raya. Meaning, because there's a machlokas there and this is less, it must mean that there's no machlokas here. That's, you can't, right? You can't prove that there's no machlokas here. The best you can prove is that if it's a machlokas over there, then what? There's a machlokas here too. So it must be that the same machlokas over there applies over here as well. So that's how the Prima Gadim says. The Ad Yehuda says, no, we're more machmir by Adacha than we are by a klipa. Wow. More machmir by Adacha than we are by a klipa. How? Because the only reason to be makel by klipa is that there's suffik if it was nivla at all, even into a kadei klipa. Plus another suffik that there might be shishim kenega, that which is balua. When do we require kadei klipa? When you take something hot, a hot piece of meat, and you slap it on a cold piece of cheese. So we say tasa'a gavar, which we'll get to, that we assume not that the meat heats up the cheese, but that the cheese cools down the meat. But before the cheese cooled down the meat, there was an absorption of a kadei klipa in each of them. So I don't know, maybe there was, maybe there wasn't an absorption of a kadei klipa, and even if there was, maybe it's batel d'shishin. So by the kadei klipa, you have a svek sveka that you could be making. But by hadacha, you could assume stomach that if two moist things touch each other, there was a little bit of something that touched. So you have to rinse off the thing that touched. So you don't have a svek sveka. It's not like maybe it did, maybe it didn't. No, it for sure did, right? So you have to assume that maybe it touched. So three shitas, if you didn't do the hadacha. The taz, that l'kuli alma, it's mutter. Meaning all the shitas and sivdal, I'm going to say it's mutter over here. Prima gadim, it's the same machlok. And the Ad Yehuda, that no, it's even more chamer if you forgot to do Adacha and then you cooked it. So now let's come back to our plates. Let's come back to using plates in the Airbnb or the hotel. So the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Lamrim Beis, tells us, Kli she'nishtamish bo chametz mishtamish bo matzah. That you're allowed to use the same kelim they use for chametz, you're allowed to use for matzah. Can't be talking about hot, right? So it probably means that you're allowed to use the same cold kli that you use for chametz, you're allowed to use for matzah. How could that be allowed for chachila? I thought you require hadacha when it comes to plates, and then anything that's going to require hadacha, you're not allowed to do the chachila. So how could that be working? So the Ramah, the Darkei Moshe, has three possibilities. Possibility number one is maybe there's a distinction between Hilchos Pesach and Hilchos Kashrus. And in Hilchos Pesach, we're not going to require such separation. Hilchos Kashrus, we will. What's the problem with that answer? We all the time make chilukim between Hilchos Pesach and Hilchos Kashrus in the other direction. Chumrut to Chametz, we're always more machmir by Chametz than we are by Kashrus. That's very different. Then the Rama says maybe we could be mechalik between moist food and dry food. That if it's dry food, that's what we're talking about in the Gemara Pesach. That you can put matzah, dry matzah, on a plate that had dry chametz on it. But as soon as you do it, it's going to be moist. So then, since it requires hadacha, and that's where the shach is coming from, right? The shach that we said before, right, says that that if neither thing is lach, they're both dry, then you don't even need hadacha. You don't need anything. So that's the Gemara Pesachim, that you can use a kli, that's a chametz stick of kli, for dry matzah, because everything's dry. The kli is dry, the chametz is dry, so there's no problem, you're not going to need hadacha. Then the Rama says that there may be a difference between a chametz kli that had a blia in it, and a chametz kli that didn't have a blia in it. That if it was a chametz kli that had a blia in it, even though right now blios don't seem to be moving from one to the other, so Shvera, it's difficult to understand, but because it is a treif kli, it is a chefza of a treif kli, so maybe that would be problematic, and would require a dacha, but if the kli itself didn't really have any blios, yeah, it was used for treif, but only cold where it doesn't have any blios, so then maybe it would be mutter. So, the Rama over here tells us, just let's play it out, and you're in the hotel. According to these three approaches, where would that leave you? According to the first approach, as distinction between Hilchos Pesach and Kashrus, you're in trouble, right? Because in Hilchos Kashrus we're machmir. According to the second one, that we're machalik between moist and dry food. So it depends what you're putting in the plate, right? If you're putting a piece of cake, a pastry on the plate, so the plate is dry, the pastry is dry, it'll be mutter. If you're putting cantaloupe on the plate or cereal and milk, let's do that. You're putting, we don't need to get cantaloupe and who's having cantaloupe. You're putting either plain cereal or cereal and milk. See, if it's plain cereal, it's dry. If it's cereal and milk, then you have a problem. Right? L'chora.
Why is there a problem with cereal and milk? Like what's going to stick to the
good milk? Good question. But that's the chilek that he makes. And then the third approach is that there may be a difference between a chametz kli that once had a blia and one that didn't have a blia in it. Which means that if the plate you're using is a treif a plate, even though nothing's happening, right? Same issue, right? Nothing's happening. There's no blia that's transferring. This whole thing is drabanan. But a treif a plate, you're going to put kosher food in a treif a plate and eat it? So if it's a treif a plate, then you have a problem. Are the plates in the hotel's treif? Absolutely, right? I mean, they put bacon strips in the waffle maker, right? They make chicken soup in the coffee machine, right? I mean, it's a treif a plate, right? So the Rama over here says the davka davar sheish mer lachluch is chtsas, avol davar yavish mamish im lo bala hakli rak bitzonein mutl laniach bo davar yavish bo lo adacha klal. You only need to rinse meat that was placed on a non-kosher plate if the meat was moist, and the plate is actually non-kosher. In fact, the Tosos in Avodah Zarah quotes Rabbi Natan as saying pretty much the same thing. The kederos habluos mi basar b'chalav, ayideshin is bashal behem, mutter lahasim b'tochan dover yavesh kigon tvua. If you have treifakil, you could put dry grain in it. V'chein kederos hasurus mishum chametz b'pesach, mutter lahasim b'tochan dover yavesh aval dover lahasimlo. So you could put a dry thing in a treifa plate. So essentially, you could take a cold piece of meat on a cold non-kosher plate if the meat is dry, and the non-kosher plate was never used for something hot. Right? What does it say? The Rama writes, "Dafka davar sheish balach luchis k'tzas, aval davar yavish mamish, im lo bala hakli rak pitzonein." If the kli was only balea b'tzonin, it was never really balea without. The kli itself was never used for av. And what you're putting in is yavesh, then it's mutter. So it would follow that if you have a non-kosher plate that was used for hot non-kosher meat, you cannot put kosher meat on that plate, even if the plate is wiped clean and the kosher meat is cold and dry. if it's a chefza, a treifa plate, that actually have gleos of treif in it, you're not allowed to use it, period. If the meat is cold and moist, you can't put it on a non-kosher plate, even if a plate became non-kosher just from cold. How does a plate become non-kosher from cold? Malicha, kavisha, we have to learn tarotas. So where we are right now, we're in trouble, right? Meaning in the hotels. We have a little bit of a problem. Let me just get to the punchline a little bit. I don't know if we're really going to get to the punchline. So the Taz changes the gears in the Ramah. In our version, the Ramah says Dover Yavish twice. So the Taz writes that the meat that was placed on a clean, non-kosher plate doesn't need to be rinsed if the meat is either dry or if the plate became non-kosher from a cold source, from cold. Meaning, you only require hadacha if the meat is moist and the plate became non-kosher because of heat. Ooh, so that shifts things dramatically. Right? I mean, the way the Rambam said is that the only time it's going to be mutter is that the plate never had any hot treif in it, and whatever you're putting in it is only dry. Says the Taz, not and, or. That it's mutter if either the plate only had cold, or the food you're putting in it is dry. Whoa, once it becomes an or, so can you put your dry cereal in the bowls in the hotel? Yes. You can put your dry cereal in the bowls in the hotel. If you say like the Ramah, you can't put your dry cereal in the bowls in the hotel. If you say like the Taz, you can put your dry cereal in the bowls in the hotel. But what can't you do still? Cereal and milk. Because the plate was bolea hot treif, presumably at some point. The bacon strips in the dishwasher and whatever else. Anything else people might have put, you know, hot cereals and whatever else people might have put in there. And cereal and milk is moist. So the Taz helps us. He moves it over a little bit. It's not and, it's or. Comes along the Shach and he says, I don't agree with Ramah or the Taz. Where do we ever find that cold meat, even moist, is bolea from a cold plate, even if that plate is a treifa plate? Everything's cold right now. The meat's cold. The plate's cold. What's the problem? So the Shach very strongly rejects the Ramah. He writes, Kol dvarav mitchilosan bat sofan enam muvanim li. Right, as strongly as you could possibly reject the Ramah, the Shach says, nothing he says makes any sense over here. And it's exactly your point, right? There's nothing happening. There are no pleos. You know, hello, this is your day. Everything's about pleos. So he points out that the Ramah himself writes in Tzimun Kuf Chafayim of Sif Hei, permission to go a little overtime today? The attendance took me. I just want to finish the plot. He points out that the Ramah himself says in Tzimun Kuf Chaf Aleph, Shekasu patur shem v'zel shono, kelim shen neshtam shem emchan, kagon kederos, v'yoros, magilon, and matbilon v'en mutarim. That if let's say you have a treifa kli that you got from a guy, so what do? Kasher it, and then tovel it, and then we'll become mutar. Because of Rashbam, and Rashbam says, in that order, kasher first, and then tovel. Because if you tovel before you kasher, it's tovel l'sheretz bi'adam. Right, and you're toveling something. Tevila is supposed to make something usable and holy and good and kosher, but it still has bleos of treif in it. You can't tovel something that has bleos of treif in it. But the Re disagrees, and we'll come back to this later in the year, Bez Hashem. The Re says that, nah, you can do the tevila first. It is becoming usable, says the Re. It is, even with the tevila, even though it's got treif of bleos. Why? Why is it becoming usable? What's he going to say? Put apples in it. Make it a fruit bowl. It's fine. I don't care that it was used as for a chili cook-off somewhere in Alabama once, and it's got treif and whatever. It doesn't matter. You'll make it as an apple. You'll keep cold apples in there. It's not a problem. So you can be tovel it first. So apparently, the Ramah himself quotes that sheet of the Re, and apparently that tells me that even though the kli itself is fundamentally treif a kli, you're allowed to put cold things in there. Even moist, cold things in there. Furthermore, v'chein mashuv gad b'sev rachim z'chayu durus in peyer b'smag lab and kuv emal. All the rishonim say sheviu ray lekelim shenis bashal and basu b'chalv shemutul shamish ben tzonei mechavish shal yain nesach shemutul shamish ben. You're allowed to use for cold from by Yayin Nesach. So why should this be any different? And he says it's mashmid lahedya the Rashba and the Chidushim this way, that even if you use a davar iser bechamin, you could eat afterwards tzonein lach below adach klal lo akelim v'lo amachel elisha mekaneach hakli. If you have a clean kli that's mamish a tray for kli, and you're using moist cold things in it, totally mutter. So the Shach argues on the Ramah, and he says that if the non-kosher plate is rinsed clean and the meat is cold, even if it's moist, you can eat the meat without rinsing it, even if the plate was balei abecham. However, here's where the Shach adds, so what is the limitation then? So he says, you're only allowed to do derech harayim. You're not allowed to do it on a permanent basis. Shach writes, miu calls it b'derech harayim. Aval b'ol l'shamish ben derech keva, afilu tzonin osu gzerish amishamish ben chavin. Kvo shkos v'rabba agor, simon kuf chaval sifei. Adin mi drabanan, you shouldn't be using treif kelim all the time. So you're allowed to use for cold, moist, whatever, in the treif of kli, on an arai basis. So, again, how many shitas? So we have the Ramah who said that in order to use it, you need to know that the kli is not fundamentally treif. It never has any blias of treif. And you're only using dry foods. The Taz made it a little better, said, no, you could put dry cereal in a tray for kli, or if it's a kli that's not really treif with blios, it's only from tzonin, then you could even use moist. Comes along the Shach, you could use moist even in a tray for kli, as long as everything's cold right now and the kli was clean. Just don't do it all the time. Do it derech harai. So now in the hotel, according to the Shach, derech harai, right? As long as it's derech harai, it's going to be mutter. Salvechik explains the Ramah that even though blios don't transfer, meaning the Shach's tightened of like, what is going on over here? There are no blios. So the Salvechik writes that liolamish pitzas mashu huaf betzone. There's a mashu of blia even in tzone. It's just generally not enough to generate an iser. But, you know, the fact that tzone, we're not goris the blios, is really based on name mevatel nisr l'chadchila, is really based on bitul iser. So don't use it l'chadchila because they mevatel nisr l'chadchila. It's a little bit shver. Normally, in Valtlis of Chachila asks something to the Eved. So Leitchik says, no, but over here it's really just a Chorma and a Knas for doing something wrong. It's a Gezeira, Shami Yavalahati, Avhecha Shaloi, Yashir Bahati, Gezeira Vatlis. But in the case of a Mashu of Blios, you're always going to have to Shir because it's just a Mashu because everything is its own name. I don't know. Shafter wasn't sure about this, that Ein Mevatlin is not Bitaras Knas. He thought Ein Mevatlin is Bitaras Knas. Meaning the way Rav Salvechik understood is that im vatnis al chachila, becoming also b'diavad, is not a knas for doing something wrong. It's a gzeira. It's not a knas. It's a gzeira that you might not have a shir bittel sometime. Rav Shachter thought it was a perish gemara and gittin daf nun dalit that the fact that when your mevatnis al chachila becomes treif b'diavad, it becomes it still remains treif, is a knas shogegatu mezid. Right. So he didn't understand how you can say that it's not a knas. So therefore, bottom line, in the Sefer Ol Yaakov, Rav Skatchelis writes, Maran Agon Rav Yosef Shalom El Yashav Pasuk Shemutel Chachila Lishtos Lach Tzonein Bekosu Shal Batei Malon Ukadoma Kivin Shemakvidim Lishmar Al Parnasasam Vadei Shiv Shifu Eitev Kalakelim. You go on a date to a hotel lobby and you buy a Diet Coke. Forget the lemon, we'll get to the lemon later. You buy a Diet Coke without a lemon. Right? Mutter or Usser to drink it. So if you're Paskin like the Ramah, Vadayas. If you're passing like the Taz, so it's Lach, and if you assume that the glass was Balea, Treif, also was it right with Balea with Hat at some point, also Asim. But if you're passing like the Shach, it's going to be Mutter, and we pass like the Shach, so Rav El Yashiv is Matir. But he says, Nir Shehetu Rak B'Derech Harai, V'lo B'Kvivs, right? But only B'Derech Harai. So what does Derech Harai mean? So I asked Rav Shach what Derech Harai means. Let's say you're in a hotel for 3 days. So, is that considered, and you keep going to the continental breakfast. So every day, using the plates that are used the day before, you know, can you do that? So you brought a raya from the Mishnah Berurah that our raya means once every 30 days. When it came to hotel, he was makel anyway. He says, what are the chances of using the same plate you used yesterday? Meaning there are like hundreds of plates there. So whatever plate you take from the continental breakfast is probably not the same plate you took yesterday from the continental breakfast. So then it's still called Derech Harai. But, if you're Airbnb in an apartment, and, you know, or a house and it comes to their plates there, then you wouldn't be allowed to use the same dishes. You have to track, you know. You wouldn't be allowed to use the same dishes more than once. It used to be that there was a place called Howard Johnson's, and they always served kosher ice cream on treif kelim. So people were makel to use the treif spoons to eat the kosher ice cream. Even though the spoons were balea from hot treif, it was a treif restaurant, right? But that was the from people used to always go there to have the ice cream, because the ice cream was kosher. Now you'd probably put a cherem for that, but that used to be the thing that, not in the five times you could probably do it, but like in most, you put a cherem.
If the shop says that maybe the whole thing is arise, that maybe you're gonna end up putting, maybe you're gonna put hot food on, why does it make a difference on which if I'm using a different plate if it's about how my behavior is gonna change?
So there's an argument to be made that arai and kaviyah shouldn't be about the plate; it should be about how much you do that. I mean, if the whole thing is a kanas on the person, yeah, there's a good argument to be made about that. Shef didn't understand it that way. I hear there is another potential clue, and we'll finish with this. Some of the poskim write that now that we wash our kelim really well with soap, this whole thing doesn't apply. That none of these chumras apply. That the whole thing of doing hadacha and ochel is if you put in a kli yisur is bismanon. This is in the tshuvas, the old Yaakov quotes the tshuvas kinyan deya. Now you don't have to worry about any of this anymore. I don't know, I'm always hesitant to rely on kulas that work with the, that begin with the assumption that everyone was a bunch of animals, you know, back in the day, and we finally are the first civilized people that, you know, that ever existed. That they used to, you know, I don't know what the conditions were. Maybe they were, maybe they weren't. I don't know. I'm very hesitant to rely on kulas that involve that cheshbon. Really, I'm finishing. There is another potential chumra. The Ran is quoted by the Beis Yosef to be machmer by klei cheres, because the entire kula is that using it for cold is only going to be temporary, and eventually you'll kasher it before you accidentally use it for hot. But klei cheres can't ever be kasher. The whole reason we're making is to use treif kelim is because even though you're only using it for cold, is because. What's the concern? That you'll want to use it for hot? Eventually, when you want to use it for hot, you'll kasher it. But a kli cheres can never be kashered. So I have to be machmer on the kli cheres to begin with. That's based on the Gemara Pesach of Daf Lamed, that kli cheres, which are balei chametz, have to be destroyed. Right? As far as keeping treif kelim around the house, it seems that if you don't use them, l'chor it's not aser. However, the Rashba has a tshuva where he discusses why Rav required breaking Kli Cheres, considering that the Gemara in Avodah Zarah allows Kli Cheres that were Balea Yayin Nesach after 12 months. Because after 12 months, the Blios become irrelevant according to that Deya. So instead of breaking the Kelim, why not just keep them around? So that's what the Rashba says. It must be that it's Usher to keep them around. Because if it was mutter to keep them around, meaning if it was mutter to keep them around, then there's benefit in keeping them around for 12 months. Why would the Gemara tell you to break it? Just keep them around for 12 months, and the blios will go away. Generally, we don't assume the blios go away after 12 months. That's a kula of the Chacham Tzvi. So generally, we reject the kula of the Chacham Tzvi, and therefore the accompanying chumra of the Rashba. Right? Meaning, if you assume the kula of the Chacham Tzvi, that after 12 months, all blios disappear, so then you have the chumra of the Rashba, that you can't keep things around. You can't keep treif kelim around, because I'm worried what you're going to do within the 12 months. But if you don't have the kula of the Chacham Tzvi, then the whole Rashba's raya falls away. Because the whole raya of the Rashba is, why don't you just keep it around for 12 months? And the answer is, because it doesn't do you any good to keep it around for 12 months. It's going to be treif then too. And that's what we generally assume, that even after 12 months, it's still going to be... So if you have a kli that needs kashering, many people put it aside for a while until the next time they plan on kashering, or they leave on tovel kelim until the next time they go to the mikveh. It's perfectly fine. That we generally assume is perfectly fine. Okay, so Bezrem, tomorrow we'll quickly go through Sif Gimel, and then the bulk of the shir tomorrow will be on Sif Dalet. I saw about that.
I gotta get my drill.